Title: Using Groove Pool on Individual Slices Advanced. Alright, welcome in. This one is advanced, and it's super drum and bass specific, using Ableton's Groove Pool on individual slices inside the same break, because here's the problem with one groove on the whole loop. In DNB, the groove is not evenly distributed. The kick usually needs to stay locked and confident, the snare can sit a touch late to feel heavier, and the hats and ghost notes, that's where the loop starts rolling, breathing, and sounding like it's moving forward without speeding up. So today you're going to build a rolling 174 BPM drum loop where the kick stays tight, the snare gets weight, and the tops and ghosts get that shuffle and urgency. And you'll do it in a way that lets different slices behave differently, even though they came from the same break. Let's set up the session first. Quick but important. Set your tempo to 174 BPM. Anywhere from 172 to 176 is fair game, but we'll aim at 174. Now grab a break. Amen. Think. Funky drummer. Hot pants, anything with clear transients and some personality. Drag it onto an audio track. Before you slice anything, we warp properly. This is non-negotiable. Turn warp on. Set warp mode to beats. For preserve, start at 1/16. If it gets too choppy, back it off to 1/8. Make sure the transients are actually lining up. If the loop is drifting, right-click and use warp from here, straight from a clean downbeat. The reason I'm being strict: if you slice a badly warped break, you're basically baking confusion into every slice. Then when you apply groove, it won't sound human. It'll sound like your drums are tripping down the stairs. Now we're going into the main workflow. Method A. This is the fastest and most musical way, and it's my go-to for modern DNB. Right-click the audio clip and choose slice to new MIDI track. Slice by transient. Create one slice per transient. Use the built-in slicing preset. That's fine. Hit OK. Ableton creates a drum rack with a sampler on each pad, plus a MIDI clip that triggers the slices in the original rhythm. Now, the big concept. Groove Pool affects MIDI notes really well, and once your break is sliced, those slices are triggered by MIDI notes. That means you can get groove control per type of hit if you separate your MIDI intelligently. Before we split anything, do a bit of organization inside the drum rack. Go through the pads and audition them. Find which slices are kicks, which are snares, and which are tops and little ghost textures. You can keep it simple. Kicks in one area of pads, snares in another, tops and ghosts in another. The exact pad locations don't matter. The point is, you're thinking in rolls. And here's a teacher tip. Don't treat Groove Pool like swing. Treat it like a micro timing modulation engine with three layers: anchor hits, kick and main snare. These define the bar. Minimal timing movement. Carrier hits, hats, ghosts, shuffles. This is where groove does the work. Texture hits, little rim bits, incidental slices. These can take more random without ruining the pocket. Practical rule: if it defines the bar, don't let Groove Pool move it much. Now let's split the MIDI so each roll gets its own groove. Open the MIDI clip that Live created. You're going to separate notes by pitch, because each slice is a MIDI note. Click a kick note in the piano roll, then use select same pitch. Now you've got all kicks selected. Cut them. Here's the recommended advanced routing for best control. Keep one drum rack, but drive it with multiple MIDI tracks. Create two or three additional MIDI tracks, so you end up with separate lanes like kick, snare, and tops. On each of those MIDI tracks, set MIDI 2 to the drum rack track and target the drum rack. Now paste the kick notes into the kick MIDI track clip. Go back to the original, select the snare pitch, select same pitch, cut, and paste into the snare track clip. Everything else goes to tops, or split it further into tops, accents, and ghosts filler later. That split is a power move, and we'll talk about it. At this point, you have one drum rack making sound and multiple MIDI clips controlling it. And now each clip can have its own groove from the Groove Pool. Open the Groove Pool. In the browser, find Grooves, and drag in something like MPC 16 Swing. Start around 58 to 62. Those are common DNB-friendly values for hats and ghost notes. Now apply grooves with intention. On the kick clip, either no groove or extremely subtle. Think timing around 5 to 15%. The kick is your anchor. If you groove it too much, the low end feels late and weak, especially once you add bass. On the snare clip, subtle to moderate. Timing around 10 to 30%. The goal is weight, not sloppiness. You can add a tiny random, like 2 to 6, just to avoid robotic repetition, but keep it controlled. On the tops clip, This is where you can lean in, timing anywhere from 45 up to 85%, velocity around 10 to 25%, random maybe 5 to 15 depending on how gritty and wild you want it. If random gets too high, your hat stops sounding like a pattern and starts sounding like accidents. Also, keep bass at 1/16 most of the time for DNB, because that's where the shuffle tends to speak. Now, a really useful advanced trick, you can use multiple copies of the same groove, with different amounts. So drag that same groove into the groove pool again, so you have duplicates. One copy can be snare version, low timing, random basically off. Another copy can be tops version, high timing, moderate random. Another copy could be accent hats, medium timing, higher velocity influence. That way, it all feels like one pocket, but the behavior changes per slice group. This is how you get cohesion and complexity at the same time. Now listen, and listen the right way. Mute your bass for a moment. Focus on, does the kick feel like it's leading the loop? Does the snare feel like it lands with authority? Do the tops roll without smearing the backbeat? If the snare suddenly feels small, you probably grooved it too hard. If the kick feels like it's dragging, you definitely grooved it too hard. Next, committing groove, but strategically. Once the tops feel right, duplicate that tops clip and rename it something like tops pre-commit. Muhit, that's your safety lane. Now on the active tops clip, commit groove. This bakes in the timing and velocity changes, so you can do deeper edits without the groove engine constantly shifting things under your hands. Don't commit everything immediately. Commit the parts you're ready to sculpt. Usually that's tops and ghosts first. Now let's add one more layer of pro DNB feel. The snare weight trick. Late texture, on time transient. If your snare is coming from the break slice, consider layering it with a clean, straight one-shot snare. Keep the one-shot tight and punchy. Then keep the break snare texture slightly late, and a little quieter. You get the delusion of a dragging heavy snare, but the transient still hits like a weapon. If you do this, check phase and flamming. Zoom into the transient. If the low end feels hollow or the snare sounds like two hits instead of one, nudge one layer by a few milliseconds until it locks. Or use track delay for tiny adjustments. This matters a lot once you start grooving slices, because micro timing shifts can create micro phase problems. Now let's quickly talk method B and method C, because you'll run into situations where you want them. Method B is per slice groove using individual audio clips. It's the most surgical. You split the audio into separate clips, put kicks, snares, and tops on separate audio tracks, and then apply groove per audio clip in clip view. This is more like old school jungle editing. It's slower, but the control is insane. A fast way to work here is resampling. Make a new audio track called Print Drums. Set audio from to your drum rack track. Post effects. Arm it. Record 8 bars while you tweak groove amounts live. Now you've got audio you can cut, consolidate, and destroy with processing. Method C is the steal the pocket method. You take a reference break that has an amazing feel, warp it cleanly, then right-click and extract groove. That groove shows up in the groove pool and you can apply it selectively, usually starting with hats and ghosts only. Keep kick and main snare mostly straight, at least at first. Now let's make this musical beyond a 2-bar loop. Build an 8 to 16 bar phrase. Bars 1 to 4, your bass groove. Stable kick and snare, groovy tops. Bars 5 to 8, add extra ghosts and maybe push the tops groove slightly harder. Bar 8, do a microfill. One easy move is a snare flam. Duplicate a snare hit and place the copy 10 to 25 milliseconds late. Not a full 1/16 late, just a tiny flam. That's the grin on the end of the phrase. Bars 9 to 16. Therination. Swap one snare slice for a different one. Add a ride. Introduce an open hat lift. And here's an arrangement trick that's way more powerful than people expect. Automate groove amount. On your top's groove, automate timing. In the verse, keep it maybe 55 to 65%. As you build toward a drop, ramp it to 70, 80, even 85. You can also slightly increase random near the peak, and then pull it back, or do the opposite, reduce velocity influence right before the drop to create tension, then restore it at the drop. And for maximum impact, momentary to groove, right before the drop, remove groove or drastically reduce timing for one bar, then slam back into full groove on the drop. That contrast reads as impact even if you didn't add a single new sample. Now a sound design bonus that pairs perfectly with groove pool. If your slices are in simpler, you can turn velocity groove into tone changes, not just loudness. In simpler on your top slices, enable a filter and map velocity to filter cutoff in a musical way. So when groove pool adds velocity variation, your hats subtly open and close, and ghost notes shift in brightness. Suddenly the groove feels performed, even if the timing changes are subtle. And after groove, refocus transients per group. Groove can blur transients because hits shift closer together. On the kick group, you can add a touch of drum bus transient emphasis. On tops, sometimes reducing transient slightly actually makes the roll smoother and less spiky. Now let's hit common mistakes so you can avoid wasting time. Don't groove the kick too much. If your low end feels late, that's why. Don't slice before warping correctly. Warp first, slice second. Don't set timing at 100% on everything. That's how you lose punch and end up with a loop that feels like it's falling over. Don't crank random until your hats stop sounding like a pattern. And don't forget, commit groove when you're confident, but keep a muted pre-commit safety clip so you can roll back instantly. To wrap this up, here's your mini practice exercise, and I really recommend you do it. Slice one break to drum rock by transients. Create three MIDI tracks targeting the same drum rock, kick, snare, tops. Load two MPC swing grooves, one around 58 and one around 62. Kick gets no groove or timing 10% max. Snare gets the lighter groove at around timing 20%. Tops gets the heavier groove at around timing 75%, velocity 15, random 8. Commit groove on tops only. Arrange 8 bars. In bar 4, remove 1 kick. In bar 8, add a snare flam by duplicating a snare hit and placing it 10 to 25 milliseconds late. Then listen for the 3 outcomes: kick stability, snare weight, tops rolling. If you nail those 3, you're not just using groove pool, you're using groove as composition and sound design per slice, like a proper DNB editor. If you tell me which break you're using and whether you're on live 11 or 12, I can suggest a couple specific groove pairings and starting values that tend to work for that exact break.